This is Crescent Coral Radio,
a fan podcast about the animated series Science Ninja Team Gatchaman and its related shows.
I don't care what kind of crap comes out of your mouth, but you can't make any intelligible words. Understand? Now kick out the jams!
Hello and welcome to Crescent Coral Radio. This is Kathy, and with me as always is Dan.
Hello, everybody.
This week on our episode, we will be reviewing episode 26, The God Phoenix Reborn. And we also have spiffy new microphones, so hopefully we sound better.
Yeah.
Less popping and whatever.
Yep, so upgraded our cables and mics, so hopefully this will sound nicer.
Yay. Before we get to our review, though, we do want to jump ahead a bit to our next episode, which will be we'll be reviewing Galactor's Witch Racer, which you probably know better with the Battle of the Planets version, Race Against Disaster. And we decided, because that's an episode that's pretty iconic, especially where Battle of the Planets is concerned, we're going to review both of them.
Yeah. And now let's get on with the show.
Our episode opens with the team on a mission, and Ryu is on the God Phoenix asleep at the controls. Literally.
Mm-hmm. Snoring away.
The team needs to combine, but they can't do it without Ryu.
Yeah, this particular instance, their cries of help over the communicator didn't wake him up.
And meanwhile, a flying manta ray attacks a ocean-going vessel.
Yeah, it's a large, really rotund, round manta ray that
flies.
It's kind of flying one. It's kind of a cool mecha.
But it doesn't end well.
No.
And then next we see them back at, I'm assuming, Crescent Coral. And mm-hmm. Ryu is tendering his resignation to the Science Ninja Team.
Yeah, he put his bracelet on the table and says that he's quitting.
And he's going to go back to his family. And everyone's all, you know, everyone makes mistakes, Ryu. You know, it's not, you know,
it's not the end of the world, dude.
But then he adds that he's upset because he has to stay behind all the time. And, well, if he quits, he gets to go and take naps and eat whenever he wants and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And strangely enough, that part upsets Nambu and the team more than the actual mistake that cost people their lives.
Yeah.
But anyway, Nambu says once Ryu quits, he can't come back. But Ryu quits anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so he leaves, and we see he's on a train that he, is kind of thinking to himself, and he's sorry that he had to do it, but he just can't forgive himself for this particular screw-up.
So then we're now at a fishing village, and there's a bunch of angry people, and this fishing village happens to be Ryu's hometown, and we meet his dad and his brother.
Yeah.
And his dad has a Hitler mustache.
Yeah.
I don't get that.
It's like half the size of a Hitler mustache. It's like so narrow. It's just so bizarre.
It's like the soul patch migrated from under his lip to above his lip.
Yeah.
That's what it looks like.
Yeah. It's just this teeny little thing that I really don't see why you would even bother maintaining that. But
anyway, there's a...
All the sturgeon... That didn't realize that you would harvest sturgeon in the sea like that. I thought they were more lake or river fish, but...
At least the sturgeons we know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But the sturgeon and spiny lobsters that are called out specifically, they basically have all been contaminated with some sort of a pollutant.
And the villagers depend on them for their income.
Mm-hmm.
Because they need... They're all fishermen.
Because it's a fishing village. And it's around that time that Ryu walks up and hears what's going on. And he says, well, why don't you call Dr. Nambu? He's a guy that I know. Except for Nambu had just told him, like, the day before that he was severing all ties.
Yeah. Yeah, but Ryu's dad doesn't know that.
Yeah.
And he won't
but
know that.
But Ryu offered it.
So. And he can't know that.
Yeah. It's just... kind of weird, but there apparently was no sort of a problem with accepting the opportunity, because next thing we know, Nambu is examining the animals and trying to figure out what's going on.
And then they go on the mission, and Nambu's like going to come along because he has an antidote.
Yeah, he discovers that this is pollution from a factory creating an unknown kind of metal. So therefore it has to be Galactor.
Of course.
So everybody's coming along and he's joining the team as well, which is like the first time I think we've seen him on the God Phoenix.
I'm not sure. He might have been on there before. Possibly. I don't remember, but
it's just possible. Weird seeing him on the bridge.
Yeah. Anyway. Meanwhile, Ryu and his brother Seiji go scuba diving, and Ryu is suspicious of this pollution since there are no actual factories near their town, and that's how he figures out it's probably Galactor behind all this. And him and his brother are underwater scuba diving, and they see the monster ray swim around in the ocean.
Yep. And the kid doesn't seem to realize it's a machine. He just sort of sees the shape, I guess, and goes, wow, that is a scary, scary size manta ray. But Ryu gets it that, that's one of their mecha. And so they're right here at our back door.
So then, meanwhile, in the village, Nambu gives Ryu's father the antidote for the sturgeon and the spiny lobsters. Ryu kind of comes in and sees that the team and Nambu are there, so he hides, but not quick enough so Ken wouldn't notice, because Ken notices. And then Ken seeks him out in like a little shack, shed, equipment storage place.
Yeah, Ryu's changing from regular scuba gear into deep sea.
Yeah.
So he can actually go down to the base where the manta ray is kept.
And Ken confronts Ryu because he knows Ryu is onto something and wants to know what that is. Ryu's all, no, you know, I'm not going to do that. He's, you know, upset.
Yeah.
And Seiji calls Ryu a big dummy.
Yeah.
Because it's like, Gatchaman's here. Why don't you tell him? He can help us, you know?
Yeah, exactly. There's a superhero in town. Let him do this. Yeah, Ryu's ego won't let him do that, and so he actually, like, rushes past the kid enough that he, like, knocks his brother down.
And
he was definitely acting like a dick.
Then Seiji tells Ken about, well, he calls it the monster ray.
Yeah.
That manta ray thing. And then Ken swears Seiji to secrecy. Meanwhile, Ryu goes off to investigate all of this, and he's on this cool-looking underwater jet ski.
Yeah.
That's, like, going down towards this base.
And it was painted up in, like, Galactor goon colors. It looked like something they stole from Galactor.
Or it coincidentally was, like, in Ryu colors, too.
Oh, yeah, that is true. It is his uniform colors.
Yeah.
But, there was a neat little vehicle that you sit on and just kind of ride around under the water.
Then, see, because Ryu wants to defeat this whole thing alone in order to restore his honor. Because, he feels ashamed for making that mistake. Ken follows him to the base.
Yep, on another little scooter. This one's more of a red type, very sporty.
Not Gatchaman colors.
No. And from there, he just sees Ryu's abandoned bike and then sees the ray entering the Galactor base, which has been built into the continental shelf under the sea.
And Ken kind of hitches a ride under the wing, and when they're in the base, he really gets sucked into some drains.
Yeah. And so he has to grab hold of, thankfully there were some rungs built onto the ray's wing that he could hold on to while the water drained, because, yeah, it would have basically sucked him out into their drainage system, and probably wouldn't have survived that.
And then he hitches a ride on one of the transports.
Yeah. Neat little minivan looking thing.
The commander of the week sees him. We haven't had a commander of the week in a while.
I know. It's so nice to see the commander of the week.
And I'm not sure what he's supposed to be, except his mask looks like the reproductive system of a flowering plant.
Kind of mixed with an insect head. It's really bizarre, and he's got like this collar behind his head that comes up in
looks
three
like a
points
sea
with
monkey.
Balls. Yeah,
sea
he's got
monkey
sea
collar.
Monkey collar, and the mask doesn't move at all when he talks, so it's not like it has a jaw or anything like that. It's just a solid mask.
He sees Ken on the monitor and then orders them to be gassed, so he falls asleep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and
this
behind
works.
The commander of the week is Ryu, who's tied up and on the floor.
Yeah, dressed up like a turkey.
Yeah. And we have the commercial.
Yeah.
And we're back. And it's 2 days later.
Yeah. And they're all in the God Phoenix flying around trying to figure out where those two went. And Joe is piloting the ship.
They're looking for Ken. And they spot Seiji sitting in the middle of the ocean in a rowboat.
Yeah. He got all the way out there in the middle of nowhere in his little rowboat. And he's just kind of sitting there. And
so then they go to land on the surface of the water. And Joe, we have to say, is a really, really crappy pilot.
Yeah.
A really crappy pilot.
Yeah. He needs wheels and ground under him. He is not a flyer.
It's like Seiji was almost like knocked out of the boat, and the boat was almost knocked off to the next island.
Yeah.
From the wake. And you're like, everyone on the ship, even Nambu, sounded like they were going to throw up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pretty bad.
The kid was like, wow, that's a really crappy pilot.
Yeah.
And then Jinpei mentioned it, and you're going to kill us all. that was funny. I think that's great that they took the best driver of the team and pointed out that he's really bad in an aircraft.
Yeah. Well, Jun brings Seiji on board the God Phoenix, and he's all, wow, this is cool,
big,
you know.
Wide-eyed, yeah.
And then Nambu says, so what's a child like you doing in an ocean like this?
Creepiest, stupidest pickup line ever. It was just like, really? Really, guys? That's just...
You could just see me like shaking my head.
Yeah.
S-M-H.
Shake my damn head.
No, S-M-D-H. Yeah. So the team and Nambu are trying to pry the secret from Seiji because it's obvious that he knows something about
what's going on.
And he's also upset because Gatchaman and Ryu might die.
Yeah.
Also should mention Seiji needs a lozenge. Badly.
Yeah, he's got that kind of gravelly kid voice. And
what is he, like 8?
Something like
6?
That. Well, he's also a chain smoker, apparently.
Apparently.
And yeah, it's Jinpei that points out that, hey, without, you know, if you don't help us, they could die. And
yeah,
and
he's
like,
upset,
you know. Gatchaman can't die, and that's what Nambu's like, no, he's human like the rest of us. He can die.
Yeah.
And
here, have a lozenge, kid.
Yeah.
You know.
And here's some Nicorette to help you get off of that.
You're too young to be smoking there, Seiji.
Yeah. And so they finally get it out of him that they saw a monster ray, which, you know, normally really wouldn't be all that helpful, but they're able to piece things together that, okay, they're under the water, let's start digging around there.
So then we go see the where Ryu is being held captive, and he's been sitting in that wetsuit for 2 days now.
Yeah, that's gotta be some stinky room, because those wetsuits, I mean, you sweat in those
not
things.
To mention the rash.
Uh-huh.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
It's like,
it's gotta be just so miserable.
Miserable, yeah. Cause I was you might have been thinking of the stank. I was thinking of the rash. Poor guy.
Yeah.
I guess it'd be uncomfortable. Then he plays dumb, and the goons are laughing at him.
Yeah, a couple of guys show up saying,
like, yeah, he's an idiot. And you know.
We determined you're not Science Ninja Team, that you're just a fisherman's son, because, well, he is. They actually could research that. And so they said they're going to execute him. That's when Ryu decides to play weak, and they walk over to him, and he beats the crap out of them with each other.
To be taken to Gatchaman.
To unconscious guys.
Yeah. But he takes their gun, then he finds Ken, who's like in this glass box.
Mm-hmm.
And he interrupts this tete-a-tete between the commander of the week and Katse.
Yeah. I love it where they're talking, and Katse is like, who's that behind you? Turn around and we just see Ryu pointing a machine gun. It's like, beware the angry fat man with a Tommy gun.
In the wetsuit.
Yeah. In a stinky, rashy wetsuit. He's very angry.
That chafes his hide.
Yeah.
Literally.
Yeah. Anyway. So he starts shooting the crap out of the place.
And Ken still, you know, he manages in some like haphazard, unintentional way to get Ken out of the box.
Mm-hmm.
And they also find out that nobody took Ken's weapon from him.
Yeah, they had him unconscious. They didn't bother removing the birdarang from his belt.
No.
It's like, you guys are really, really idiots.
Yeah.
But.
Well, then Katsu decides to give up. He gives up too easily, so something's up, I guess. I don't know. He's far away, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, exactly. Katsu's not present, but he tells them to launch all the manta rays because
to escape.
There's like a whole bunch of them in there. It's not like just one mecha. They've got like a dozen of them. And so since the two guys are in the control room alone now, they decide, let's just flood the base. That'll take care of that.
Katsu's like, no, you can't, you know.
You'll die too. And they're like, okay.
Why is he concerned?
Well, he's trying to get them to not do it so his men can get rid of, you know, get the equipment out of there. But,
it sounded like he was really concerned.
Ryu throws a chair at the view screen and they hit the buttons to open up all the outside doors on the place to flood it.
And water comes running in and...
There's one great little scene of a goon running down a hallway going, I can't swim, I can't swim. That is the worst possible, like, duty station he could possibly get.
Yeah, in the organization. You can't swim.
It's an undersea base for a guy who can't swim. That poor schmuck.
Then they have, you know, this, you know, little conversation, and they're willing to die together.
Mm-hmm.
And then Ken contacts Nambu and says he found Ryu and then asks to have Ryu that's a tongue twister. Let's try this again. He asks to have Ryu reinstated to the Science Ninja team.
Yep.
And they also manage to mention there's not enough air where they are and they know they will die.
Yep. And both of them are perfectly fine with going out in this way.
They've made their peace.
Yeah.
But meanwhile, Seiji's watching all of this.
Yeah. They don't show him, but the kid would still be on the bridge.
Watching all of this.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so they're talking about, you know, reinstating Ryu to the team and stuff. And so he should actually be sitting there going, wait, what?
Wait, I know.
But since we didn't see him there, maybe they are trying to imply that they put him in a cabin below or something. But
also, maybe he didn't go, wait, what? Because he heard the thing about his brother is going to die.
Yeah,
maybe
he was too busy freaking out.
Maybe that's
to pay attention to the rest, but
so the team's like, oh, we're gonna go save you. And then Ken and Ryu are neck deep in water and they're joking about his napping on the job and stuff.
Yeah, they're giggling together and it's
gallows humor. You gotta love gallows humor.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It was kind of a nice little scene.
And then Jinpei comes to them in his buggy, and he gets there just in time to float them out an air tank, which they take and use to swim to Jinpei's buggy.
Yep.
And not drown. And then the next thing we see is Seiji, Ryu's dad, and the villagers as they're waving goodbye to the God Phoenix. And then on board the God Phoenix, Ryu gets his bracelet, everyone's happy, and he gets to pilot again. And then Jinpei makes a smart remark about Joe's piloting skills.
Yeah.
That you fly like a turkey or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. And another neat little thing was that Seiji on the shore there said something about that how cool it is that Gatchaman is going to fly his brother back to work on the God Phoenix. Which isn't untrue.
Yeah.
He's going back to work on the ship. So,
yeah, that's the episode.
Yeah.
Well, we only had one person answer the thing this week, and that was KT. So thank you, KT,
for
participating. Probably our most loyalist of listeners. Thank you. So the first question was, what did you think of this episode overall? Well, KT liked it. I actually like this one too.
Yeah, me too. It's well done. It's got good pacing, good character development, and we get to meet Ryu's family, which is cool. You know, he is the only one of the team who has a family.
Yes. Yeah, I just thought it was a good one overall.
Mm-hmm.
And favorite scene. Well, KT has two. First is the welcome Ryu received when returning to his family. And the second of her favorite scenes is Ken and Ryu neck deep in water becoming friends again.
Yeah. The bit where they're about to drown together and okay with it. It's just kind of a nice little scene because you don't really see those two guys alone together that often. It's usually, you know, other people paired off in a team. And so Ryu and Ken actually haven't spent that much time together on screen, just the two of them.
Right.
So this was kind of cool.
Yeah.
Show that they do have a bond.
See, and I don't know if I have a favorite scene. Can't really pick one, but... You know, overall, I did like this episode.
Mm-hmm.
It was just...
Yeah, it's a good one.
And least favorite scene. KT says Ryu refusing to cooperate with Ken, pushing him away and knocking over his little brother. It was uncalled for.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was...
Yeah, he was just so obsessed with doing this on his own that he actually, you know, pushed over and potentially could have hurt his brother.
Yeah, in the script, I called it throwing a tantrum.
Yeah. Yeah, he was definitely just being a dick.
Favorite character. KT says Nambu because he didn't hesitate to reinstate Ryu back onto the team.
Yeah.
My favorite character in this episode is Ryu.
Mm.
Because we actually get to see him, a side of him that we don't normally get to see. Where he's actually, he screwed up, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Which is what we usually see him because he's usually in episodes, he's sleeping or he's bored or, whatever.
Yeah, he's shirking off in some way in an unintentional manner.
But it's like after he quits and he's back home, it's like he's so competent. You know, he catches on and notices things and, you know, catches on right away that, okay.
He starts investigating right away when he finds out there's something going on.
Well, like I was trying to say, it's like he catches on and he realizes, you know, when he hears that, this problem we have is from pollution from a factory, and he connects that there's no factory nearby. You know, he catches on to that right away. And, you know, and the other stuff and noticing this and trying to go down and all that, you know, and he doesn't succeed. I mean, he does get captured.
Mm-hmm.
But then he does like the smart thing and plays dumb.
Yeah.
Played
up to their expectations to get him in close enough that he could then, you know, he beat up two armed goons completely unarmed without shoes. He completely creamed them. And then he basically took over the rest of the base because Ken was still locked up in the box. So, yeah, he definitely shined in this quite a bit.
Okay, least favorite character. Or did you have a favorite character? Or no?
It would probably have to be Ryu well for me, because it was such a good episode for him.
Okay, least favorite character. KT said June, because she hardly did anything in this episode other than bring Seiji out of the God Phoenix.
Hmm.
Yeah, I could agree with that. You know, usually when I think of least favorite character, it's the character who annoyed me the most, and nobody really annoyed me.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I suppose I could agree with that, with KT.
Yeah, but she was like, maybe the least utilized.
Yeah. Moments that made you want to cheer. I think for me, it's when, like, Ken and Ryu made up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, KT says Ken stripping off his diving suit. He is very well built. He has been hitting the gym.
Yeah, he's buff. That is funny. And I even thought that in the scene in the show is like, you know, he takes
little
off the top of the...
Little something for the ladies.
Yeah. And then we see him jump up in uniform. But
so is skin him Bert style? He takes the suit off, you know. How did he get his other clothes on since they have to have them to transform?
I have no idea.
Moments that made you want to throw things at the TV. And KT said Ryu refusing to tell Ken about the monster ray, despite the fact that the Science Ninja team were there to investigate it. At least Seiji had some common sense.
After he was convinced that they were going to die without him telling them.
Yeah, this kind of does, but usually when I want to throw things at the TV, it's because it's the writers made or making them do something stupid.
Yeah, and in this one, well,
maybe something soft and foamy that would not damage the TV.
Yeah.
That would be what I would throw.
You know, the tantrum that Nambu had at the beginning whenever Ryu was threatening to quit.
Yeah, that's a good one too.
That was like, okay, yeah.
You're more upset that he
wants to be able to eat and sleep
and take part and be able to go along and actually take part instead of being left behind. That bothers you more than sleeping on the job and people dying?
Mm-hmm.
What?
Yeah. Just the overreaction he did. That was just irritating, as well as Ryu's just stupidity and stubbornness in that one scene. Yeah.
And then the Battle of the Planets version of this was called the Bat Ray Bombers, and nobody really had any memories. I don't really have any memories of that version either. Maybe it wasn't so bad, but I do recall though that that episode was the inspiration for a pretty dark fanfic series called Watching Over You. And people who've, you know, been a long time in the fanfic community will probably know about this, because this was written like many, many years ago, long time ago, maybe almost 20 years ago. I don't know. It was a long time ago. You know, it was in the original archive of gotchfanfic.com. But the premise of that one is basically Zark's entire purpose is to gaslight G-Force, and that the scenes that were edited out for Battle of the Planets actually happened in that universe to these characters. But because they're all being gaslit, they don't remember any of it. And the stuff we don't see is like pretty bad. Like, we're talking, like, torture. You know, they don't remember, you know, they're told, you know, that, yeah, you know, everything's fine. Nobody dies. You know, this scene's cut out of so-and-so, you know, like, of, you know, so-and-so doing this or whatever. And it was probably because they were being tortured or something, even, you know. It's pretty dark. Huh. Actually, I put a link to it in the show notes, because there's like two stories that go with this, and I think the whole they find out that they're being gaslit because somebody starts to remember things. But it was this episode that inspired it.
Okay.
I've read it, but I haven't read it in a while, so, but that's what I remember of it. So
yeah,
anyway, observations. KT said Joe really needs more practice at piloting the God Phoenix.
I personally, I think it's kind of crazy that they're not all trained to operate all the vehicles.
I think they all know how to fly the God Phoenix if they have to, like reuse the pilot, and then if he's not there, then it's specialties. Joe is like the backup pilot, but they all know how to fly the thing.
Yeah, personally, I would think Ken would be the backup pilot.
He's the commander.
Because he's a pilot.
But he's the commander.
Well, he should still be the backup because he's good at flying. But if Joe is the primary backup, then yeah, he definitely should be better than this.
Yeah.
Personally, I think June would make an awesome pilot for the ship.
Yeah.
That she's, you know, she just seems competent at that kind of a thing. Well, I think she would do well at that, but
in that episode with the giant cockroach and the sugar and stuff, Jinpei was piloting the God Phoenix. He was a the 10-year-old was a better pilot than Joe.
Yeah.
So
Joe just works better on a 2-dimensional plane for his vehicle. That whole third dimension just throws him all out of whack.
Right. And how would you rate this episode? KT gives it a 4. I would agree. Yeah, 4.
I think that's where I would have to go too, because this is really pretty good. Yeah, it's not best of the best, but it is.
I think it's underrated.
Very high end. Yeah,
it's a very underrated episode, but it's good.
Well, I think because it has a forgettable mecha and Commander of the Week.
Yeah.
The Galactor side of things is actually pretty throwaway.
But the episode is about Ryu.
Exactly. Though. That's where it shines, is the actual character development of our team.
Right. And especially G5. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
We get to see him do something. Big guy get some attention.
Yay. But that's all for now. If you would like to participate in our next podcast, the link to episode 27 survey is posted, and it will be available until 6 a.m. Central Daylight Time on Saturday, October 28th, which would be about, is that the 28th? I had to check, double check. That would be about noon GMT as always.
And we love to hear back from our listeners, and we've got lots of ways you can reach out to us. That's including the Facebook, Twitter, SpeakPipe, and our forums. And for the links and the complete list, check out our show notes at CrescentCoralLibrary.com/26.
And thanks for joining us as always. You know, be sure to join us for our next episode, where we will be reviewing episode 27, Galactor's Witch Racer, and Battle of the Planets version, Race Against Disaster.
Yes. Look forward to it.
This podcast is not endorsed by or affiliated with Tatsunoko Production Companies Limited. Science Ninja Team Gatchaman, Battle of Planets, and Related Practice are trademarked in the United States and or other countries of Tatsunoko Production Companies Limited or its affiliates. All other works mentioned in this podcast are the property of their respective owners. All other content is the intellectual property of the Crescent Coral Radio podcast and its hosts, and is licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share Alike license. www.crescentcorallibrary.com